And what a model Paul was. Oh, that we might be such examples of this transforming, mighty power of the gospel. And I come back to all those pronouns again. This is very personal. If it hasn't come right down into your heart and your soul that you can say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If it's not personal, it's nothing. It's just absolutely nothing.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church, and here in Canada we're seeking to air the gospel in various cities and various places: Greater Vancouver, Prince George, Calgary, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Toronto, and New Brunswick, Fredericton, and St. John's, as well as the Maritimes, Halifax, and various repeater stations. We're thankful for the open door, and we're thankful for the opportunity to preach the gospel in this land. Would you please pray that the Lord keeps this door open? And no doubt there are forces at work that would like to shut down the preaching of the gospel. But I'd ask you to pray earnestly that God will be gracious to keep us on these stations and keep the message going forth, that we may have the privilege of preaching Christ to the hearts of men and women across this country. Pray for Canada. Oh, that the Lord in grace would turn the hearts of Canadians to Christ. And I pray that through these programs we will have a part in the Lord working in grace in this nation to turn men away from sin to the truth of the knowledge of God in Christ. And now we are thankful that we may come again today to our second part of that text. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Stay tuned as we let the Bible speak today.
The more we die to self and live in the fact of the crosswork of Christ, the more Christ lives in us. Now that's subjective, and that's growth, and that's sanctification, and that's progress in the Christian life. And growing in the Christian life has this dying principle, dying to self and enjoying more of Christ in me. That's Christian growth. That's not salvation. No, that's justification. But this dying to self and living more and more unto Christ, that's growth in grace. And we need to see that in everyone's heart. And every Christian is called to a crucified life. I check the old preachers, and I start with Matthew Henry, Alexander McLaren, the English outstanding preacher who preached in Manchester, and C.H. Spurgeon, who preached in London. And when they handle this text, Galatians 2:20, wow, they get into the wonder of this transforming power of dying to self and Christ living in us to produce a new life. And what a model Paul was. Oh, that we might be such examples of this transforming, mighty power of the gospel. And I come back to all those pronouns again. This is very personal. If it hasn't come right down into your heart and your soul that you can say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If it's not personal, it's nothing. It's just absolutely nothing. Now that brings us to Christ's gospel empowering, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. How is he doing this? How does the Son of God, by His Spirit, come down into my soul and live in my body, transforming and empowering me? I resort to Mr. Spurgeon on this. When it comes to some of these delicate issues and understanding these depths of doctrine, I don't think there was any preacher who could make things clearer and simpler than Mr. Spurgeon. I want to quote this. Possibly, some of you are trying to get faith and you do not know what saving faith is. You've heard a great deal about it, but it is an astonishing thing that the best definition of faith in the world does not make men see what faith is. The light may be very bright, but a man who is blind does not see any better because of the brilliance of the light. The eyes of our soul must be opened if we are to see what faith is. Now, faith, saving faith, is faith in a person. Faith in the living, loving Lord who gave Himself for us. I won't go on down that quote. There's probably a little bit more there. But do you get the point what faith is? Faith is a person. Saving faith is a person. It's not a catechism, although a catechism can be a help to define and talk about the Lord Jesus. And it's not how much you know about Jesus. It is your personal relationship and your personal trust in the Savior. Someone came to a preacher once with a bunch of spiritual problems. And of course they thought that the pastor just could point out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps and you're all better. And the preacher simply said, "Tell Jesus. Go tell Jesus." That was his remedy. And it was like a light coming on. It dawned. I've stewed on this. I've studied it. I've come to my pastor to find out how to handle this. I never thought of just taking it to the Lord. Saving faith is bringing your soul's salvation personally to the Lord. Let Him save you. It's His work. He's the Savior. You're not the Savior. The preacher's not the Savior. Christ is the Savior. It's His work to save. It's His power to save. It's His life in you that empowers you to kill sin. We'll learn tonight when we look at Christ our King, how He puts His foot on the neck of our enemies and crushes the lusts of the flesh and empowers us to live a new life. So you have faith in a person. Of course, you have faith in the facts of the gospel. You can't deny that Jesus is divine. You can't deny His cross work. You can't deny all the truths of the gospel. Those things are realities, but you come to Him personally. And then it's faith in the assurance that Christ loved me and gave Himself for me. Did you know that there are Bible reading people in the world who do not believe that it's right to talk about being sure you're saved? They have all this knowledge and all this Christian heritage, but they would fight tooth and nail and say it's wrong to say that you're sure that you're a Christian and you have been saved. Well, if you look at Galatians 2:20, Paul had no problem saying Christ loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm not saying He loved Jews, loved Gentiles, loved people in the world. He loved me, Paul, the old Saul of Tarsus, this guy, this one person. See, the Lord doesn't just deal in masses. He deals with individual souls. He calls them His sheep. And He calls them by name. They hear His voice. And it's right for you to know that the Lord loved you and gave himself on that cross as a sacrifice for you. This now is the empowerment. And this gives you victory in your soul and peace and assurance that you're saved. That brings me now to motivating. I'm going quickly here. Who loved me and gave himself for me. That's motivation. Christ's ultimate sacrifice for us drives us to sacrifice for him. You know the great statement of C.T. Studd, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then there is no sacrifice too great for me to make for him. If you are empowered by the truth of Christ living in you, then we can enjoy life. We can take on the cares, the troubles, the trials of being a Christian, knowing that the Lord loves us. And just because I've got pain and suffering in my life, and that I am ostracized by the world and persecuted by the world, to know that Jesus loves me becomes the great comfort and joy of my soul. And this fact of Christ taking our place on the cross, giving himself for us, brings joy in our labors. Are you working for Jesus? Are you doing something for Jesus? Whatever you're doing will become doubly joyous when you feast on Christ giving himself on the cross just for you. And whatever the sacrifice or time, talents involved, this is nothing in comparison to what our Lord did at the cross. It brings joy in our griefs. And I don't paint a picture that being a Christian is going to be all rosy. There are trials and tribulations. We must, through great tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. When we lose a limb, we can say, but I haven't lost my soul. When we lose a friend in death, we can look to the one who tasted death for every one of us. When we lose something of this world, we say, let it go, because in Christ I have everything. It also brings joy into our prayers to call on the Lord and seek his face, knowing the Lord's dying love for us personally, is to turn every prayer into an item of praise and worship. I heard about a preacher. I was listening to a sermon last Saturday on a drive into Vancouver to a funeral. And the preacher I was listening to was talking about Dr. Ian Paisley, and he said he was the only man he ever heard laugh uproariously in prayer. There was joy in the presence of the Lord. He was no stranger to the Lord. He enjoyed communion with God. Does that mark your life? I don't expect everybody just to break out in hilarious laughs. But there is a blessedness, a sweetness, a preciousness in this knowing Christ loved me and gave himself for me. And of course, it motivates. Galatians 2:20 is a double riddle. It's hard to get your head around this one. But when it does get into your heart, then all of life is just upside down. And what used to be a grind becomes joy. What used to be torment to you, becomes a delight. Old things pass away and all things become new. Let me ask you, as we enter the fall time and Sunday school soon back, and getting into routine again for many, does this Galatians 2:20 motivate you? Does this gospel of the cross motivate your heart to get on board in the gospel church, to serve, to sacrifice, to do more for Jesus? I want to challenge you. Memorize Galatians 2:20 and come back and tell me that it doesn't change your life. That's a challenge. That's a dare. I dare you. Memorize this text, get it into your soul, and then come back and tell me it didn't do anything for you. Boys and girls, I'm giving you the same challenge. This is your memory verse for next Sunday as you start Sunday school. Galatians 2:20. And this verse, this text, this truth, this fact of Christ, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And if you will confess today that I am crucified with Christ, I invite you to the communion table today to participate. And may the Lord work in your heart and bless you through his word.
It's time for another pastoral visit, and I'm thankful that I have this opportunity to speak with you and talk to you about the burdens that you carry at this time. And in the Word of God, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, we have these beautiful words where the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." I do like that word "shall." It's not a maybe or an if, it's not a mere possibility, but everyone who comes to the Lord Jesus with their cares and with their burdens is assured of rest for their souls. And today we're going to talk about coming with your weariness. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." See the gracious invitation. And note that you're to come with your labor. You're to come laden. Laden with your cares, your needs. You're not called to deal with your heavy load first, or to clean up your life first. But you're to come as you are. No doubt you are overwhelmed with life. You are at your wit's end corner and you cannot find relief. Then come to Jesus for rest. Go to him in the prayer closet and don't stop praying until you leave the burden with the Lord. Cast it all on him. After all, you're invited to be yoked with him. Now, most commentators apply these burdens of the people to whom Jesus was speaking to the ceremonies demanded by the Jewish Levitical system. That was to supply the sacrifices, bulls, lambs, pigeons, according to their ability. Now, everyone who came to the temple had to travel distances. There was the disruption to their lives. And then at the end, no sense of relief from the burdens of sin. It was an empty experience. It was all of works. And no doubt that's what empty religion does. And many religions just take and take and take and drain people and until they have nothing left. That's true in the Muslim faith as well. Everything in the culture of Islam is to satisfy Allah, their God, who demands total surrender and total service, but no freedom from the burden of sin. No Muslim ever crosses the line from being lost to liberated, from being down to accepted, to being condemned, to being brought into the enjoyment of assured peace. And of course, they reject the cross, they reject the death of the Lord Jesus at the cross, and they deny that Jesus even died on that tree. And therefore, it is a religion of works, and it never brings a Muslim into faith, into the place of real peace in this world. Oh, what a tragedy it is to be living in bondage. Roman Catholicism is also a religion of works. In total contrast, Christ came to preach grace, not money and penance and pilgrimages, a life of doing and performing, but these invitations of the Lord Jesus, they're all based on unconditional grace. And he says to men and women, stop doing, stop trying, stop seeking in your own way, come to me. He offers mercy, full and free, total acceptance with God on the basis of faith in his cross work alone. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. Jesus frees us from the alarms of conscience. He stills the conscience by applying that speaking blood, the blood that speaketh better things than Abel. He sets us free from the terrors of the law. The law, it points its 10 fingers, accusing us, guilty, guilty, guilty. But Jesus takes those burdens and he sets us free from every sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, he sets us free from the king of terrors, death itself. Jesus defeated death. He burst forth from the tomb and destroyed death's sting. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is that enemy? Christ conquered those things. And so then, the gospel of Christ brings believers in the Lord Jesus into true rest. And I want you to have that rest. I really do. I pray that you will be brought into that personal gospel rest. Oh, that today that you might enter in and be saved. Let's unite in prayer for a moment. Dear Father in heaven, we thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this call, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We thank thee that there is true gospel rest in the heart of the Lord Jesus. And I pray today that by the Holy Spirit you will give men faith to simply rest their case on the finished work of Christ. O God, deal with every sense of works, every sense that we must try harder, and cause souls to cast themselves upon the Lord for salvation this day. Faith, forsaking all, I trust him. O God, grant that you would work that in hearts this day, I pray. I plead with thee and pray thee to do this in the name of your own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sound the depths of all the mighty oceans. We may tell the distance to the farthest star. But the mighty love of God cannot be measured. Its dimensions are so high, so deep, so far. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. this love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. When on the tree he died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine. I behold his love in every golden sunset. I can see it in the beauty of a flower, and I feel it in my heart since Jesus touched me and redeemed me by his wonder-working power. And someday I'll thank him face to face in glory, when with all the millions at his feet I fall, and through countless ages there I'll live rejoicing, sing forever at the wonder of it all. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. When on the tree he died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the Gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.